Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, coast to coast. Thank you for joining us. In October of 1968, an 18-year-old girl was on her way to work in Watts, California, when she was struck by a Southern Pacific train as she crossed an intersection. After the train dragged her body 30 feet, amputated her right leg, and severed her left thumb, the teenager called out for Jesus and promised that if allowed to live, she would be a witness for him. That teenage girl would eventually become Barbara Smith Sterrett. Barbara shares the story of her life in Follow Your Vision and Never Give Up. She describes how she faced life's greatest challenges head-on as she learned how to be a disabled mother, created a center for the handicapped, traveled to Japan to sing at a concert, and graduated from college with honors. She somehow managed to survive two subsequent strokes, lived through Hurricane Katrina, and handled a divorce. Barbara illustrates how she persevered through each challenge by putting one foot in front of the other and always believing God would show her the way. Through poems and anecdotes, Follow Your Vision and Never Give Up, recommended by Workbook Press Literary Book Competition 2020, recalls one woman's journey through life as she keeps a promise to God and achieves much more than she ever imagined. Barbara Smith Sterrett, author of Follow Your Vision and Never Give Up, I'm Determined to Be Somebody Someday, is our guest on This Week in America. Barbara, it's a pleasure. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Rick. I'm glad to be on your show.
Well, your book is inspiring so many people. Reading the reviews and your never give up attitude has really been motivational for so many people. I want to go back and find out a little bit who you are. Let's talk about your childhood. What was your childhood like?
Rick, I was a sad child and very nervous. My father was an alcoholic, and I was nervous because he was verbally and physically abusive to my mother. And I would always pray to God not to let him kill my mother. And I had a place in the woods where I would go and daydream, see him step on stage and speaking words where people were listening to me.
Barbara Smith Sterrett is our guest on the program. The book is Follow Your Vision and Never Give Up. I'll give you information on the book as we go through the program. I mentioned that you were in Watts, California at the time of the accident that we'll talk about. When did you decide to go to California?
I first went to California when I was 13 years old. I had relatives there. I finished the ninth grade there, and my great aunt, she would talk about my mother, and I would wall my eyes at her, and she would always threaten to send me home. So we went home on vacation, and my mother wanted me to stay longer to visit with her. But deep down inside, I knew that if I stayed, I wasn't going to get back to California. And 2 weeks later, when I was packed to go back to California, my great aunt called and told my father not to send me. So I cried and cried, and I had to stay and finish and go to school back at the home in Louisiana.
You talk about your boyfriend, and you decided not to marry the first boyfriend. Explain why you chose not to marry him.
Well, he was good to me, but I was a very stubborn person. I like to have the last word, and I felt that he would be verbally and physically abusive to me if I lived in Louisiana, because there were no police supervision if your husband beat you up. So I felt like if I was in California, he would not be abusive to me. So that's why I wouldn't marry him.
Barbara Smith Sterrett is our guest on the program. If you're Googling that, Sterrett is S-T-E-R-R-E-T-T. The book is Follow Your Vision, Never Give Up. I'm Determined to Be Somebody Someday. The book is recommended by Workbook Press Literary Book Competition of 2020. You will find it at Amazon, the usual places. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on to get information on the book. Barbara, why did you use anagram with your name? How did you develop that?
To encourage myself, I would take my name and make an anagram, and that used that for strength to keep me going and keep my vision alive. Like My name is Barbara Ann Smith. So I would say blessings are sent. And all the way down until I got to Barbara Ann Smith, Franklin Hookman, Stephen Surrett. And that meant Bob, blessings are sent home for security soon. So that inspired me to keep going.
You know, that's something that so many people have latched onto by doing the anagram and coming up with something that's reflective of their lives. It's just one of the ways that Barbara's book, Follow Your Vision and Never Give Up, is helping so many people. Let's go back to talk about that childhood again. I'm fascinated by what you went through and how you were able to overcome all of this. As I mentioned, not just one obstacle, but multiple obstacles. Why did you run away from home at age 16?
Well, you know, I couldn't go back to California, so I ended up going to school in Louisiana with my parents. And I was infatuated with a teacher that we had at school. So I don't know how I did this, but I agreed to meet him. And I realized that I had been gone too long. So he was walking me through the woods back home, and my mother saw him kiss me. And so she says, Barbara Ann, you come here and bring whoever that is with you. He began to run. And I knew that my father would whoop me and never let me go anywhere again. And he would hold that over my head. So I also ran. And all I could think about was and kept repeating to myself, I have to finish high school. I have to finish high school. So he took me to my grandmother's house, my mother's mom, and I went. And later I went to live with my uncle and aunt in Tarrytown, Mississippi, where I finished high school.
I mentioned in the beginning, back in 1968, where your life changed dramatically, and you made the promise to Jesus that if you live, that you would do things with your life, which you've been able to do. Let's talk about October 10th, 1968. Explain how you lost your right leg.
And I was on my way to work, and I worked in Watts, California. And this was during the Watts riot. I had just turned 18 the month before, and I was crossing the street between Long Beach and Vermont in Watts, and along with other people. And I didn't see the train, and there was no crossbars. So the train hit me and dug me 30 feet. It cut off my right leg and my left thumb as I raised my hand as if I was pushing the train away. And I was, many of the people thought I lived in Watts, you know, so I had to tell them who I was. And a young man on the train made a tourniquet on my leg to keep me from bleeding to death.
And this ended up in trial. Did you have a jury trial?
Yes, I did. And it was 12. I'm not prejudiced, but I'm going to tell you, it was like during the Watts riot. So I was, that's the area where blacks were setting fires and doing lobbying. So I had 12 white jurors and a white judge. And he was a criminal lawyer. And so I was his first civil case. There was a lady on the jury that she was had an 18-year-old daughter, and my attorney thought that maybe she could be the one to sway the other jurors in my favor. Needless to say, I lost my case.
You know, it's interesting. I'm sure you look back on that and go through many, many times what you could have done differently with the legal proceedings. If you had the opportunity to address the jury and the judge, what would you have said?
You know, I thought about this often, and I would have told them that there was testimony that the train could have stopped on a dime. And I believed in my heart that they were wrong in their decision, and they did me an injustice. I felt that they should have awarded me funds to continue my education. I would want them to know that I finished high school in spite of the fact that they didn't award me any money. I received 2 AAs and a BA degree with honors, as well as other achievements and awards. I would boldly say that they made me stronger and more determined.
You know, it's so fascinating because many people would have gone the other way, would have felt like the whole world is against them, the system is against them. Been pretty easy at any point to throw in the towel. You did not do that. You just became more determined as you went through that setback, as well as so many others. Barbara Smith Sterrett is our guest on the program, S-T-E-R-R-E-T-T. The book is Follow Your Vision and Never Give Up. I'm determined to be somebody someday, and she is. In the book, you use letters from friends. Talk about that. Why did you decide to include those letters?
You know, I met a lot of people in my life and my travels, and I had good friends. And so many times people change their name, maybe a Muslim, or either they get married again, and they change over the years. But I wanted to show letters from my friends in my book to show that even though I changed my name, my last name, and made many mistakes along the way, I was the same Christian woman they knew 20-some years ago as I tried to let my light shine wherever I went. And I wanted them to see that, to show that I was a motivator, that I love encouraging people, that I was like the foundation. I was the first in a lot of things, and I wanted them to know that.
Yes, and you do an excellent job of telling your story in the book, Follow Your Vision and Never Give Up. And besides just getting you through this, you've helped others in so many. As a teacher, you've helped others creating a center for the handicapped, always thinking about other people and giving them the hope, the inspiration, and the avenue to pursue a quality life for them. Talk about the decision when you decided, you know, I could touch more people if I wrote a book. What was the inspiration for writing Follow Your Vision and Never Give Up?
Rick, I wanted to share my story, that I had a vision, that I saw myself as being someone special and encouraging people. And I had a vision, and I would not give up, even though I came from a dysfunctional family with no love and affection. I ran away from home at 16. I lost my right leg and not awarded any compensation. I survived two strokes, suffered from bipolar and ADHD. I was a survivor of Hurricane Katrina, being divorced and raising two children. So I wanted to show that you can make it if you try. And my soulmate, Ralph, was... He saw that I wanted to share my book, my story in a book. I wanted to tell others that no matter what obstacles get in your way or what mistakes you make along the way, you can have a vision and never give up trying to attain your goal.
Well, you're a perfect example of that. And you just mentioned, as I did in the beginning, all of the setbacks you went through, each one would have probably been the final straw for many people. You were just more determined to turn it around, and you've done that. Why did you write poems? And you do such an excellent job with that. That's a real special talent. Why do you write poems?
I believe that I wrote them because when I felt that if I was near a nervous breakdown, I went as far as I could go, and I have made a wrong turn. So in writing the poems, it gave me added strength to make a U-turn and head down the right way and hang on to my vision and my goals.
You know, I said in the beginning that you've met each challenge putting one foot in front of the other. Is that sort of the key to doing this? Just take it one step at a time, one little step, and eventually you start working your way to what for you is a very satisfying life. Is that the key, one step at a time?
Yes, one step at a time. If I make a mistake, I used to say I fall down deep in a hole. But when I come out, I have power. I have more determination to go forward.
What's it like when you get response from people? You read the reviews, or people that you know have read the book. I'm looking at reviews, Down to Earth, Never Giving Up Lesson in Life. Can't imagine where she found the courage to go on. Your book taught me a lesson, and I thank you. Filled with compliments like that, praising you for giving them what they needed, the support they need to continue with life. What's that like when you get feedback like that?
You know, I feel very encouraged that my life means a lot. It's like when I almost committed suicide on when I lost my case, and a voice said to me, "It's a beautiful day, isn't it?" Three times. And then the voice said, "You are chosen. I have a work for you to do." And so when I hear my friends tell me how I encourage them, that let me know that my vision and my goal is on track.
You know, it's interesting because this is not like you made the decision to go forward and life was great for you afterwards. All of the problems, you mentioned contemplating suicide. You mentioned a nervous breakdown. You were able to work through all of those. Barbara has all of this detailed in her motivational book, Follow Your Vision and Never Give Up. I'm determined to be somebody someday. I mentioned going off and singing in Japan. A couple minutes left in the program, and I'd like to ask you to sing one of the songs you mentioned in the book that you actually sang. I think that was honoring the International Year of the Disabled in 1984. Tell us a little bit about the song, and then please sing that as we finish up the program today.
You know, it was like when I felt being alone, I felt like people didn't recognize me for what I was, living in this world when you couldn't trust anybody. And I said, I'm an American too. I was born September the 11th. I have found living in this hard, cruel world today has conditioned us to keeping everything to ourselves. Even ourselves to ourselves. Let's stop and recognize. Everybody needs control sometimes, and that's all right. But oh, when you find you lose control, that's all right sometimes. Everybody needs to be alone sometimes, and that's all right. But oh, when you find you're no longer alone, that's all right sometimes. And oh, when you find love's around the corner, that's all right. Because everybody needs a friend sometimes. Everybody needs a friend sometimes. Everybody needs a friend sometimes. Everybody needs love sometimes, and that's all right.
That is so beautifully done, and I love the words and the presentation. This was done in 1984. We're a few years beyond that, and it applies just as much today as it did back then. This has been so much fun having Barbara on the program. Time has gone by so quickly through poems and anecdotes, Follow Your Vision and Never Give Up, recommended by Workbook Press Literary Book Competition 2020. It recalls Linda's journey through life as she keeps a promise to God and achieves much more than she ever imagined. Follow your vision and never give up. I'm determined to be somebody someday. And she is, and reaching back and extending her hand and helping other people. Barbara Smith Sterrett. The book is available at Amazon, the usual places. Sterrett is S-T-E-R-R-E-T-T. You can link out to our website, get all the information there as well. Barbara, thank you for sharing your story with us on the program today. A pleasure to have you with us. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Rick, for having me on your show. I really appreciate it, and I enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure to have you with us. Barbara Smith Sterrett, the book is Follow Your Vision and Never Give Up. I'm Determined to Be Somebody Someday. Book available at Amazon. And, of course, information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.